Blog Talk Radio.
Chapter 3. Repentance. How shall a man be just with God? How shall the sinner be made righteous? It is only through Christ that we can be brought into harmony with God, with holiness. But how are we to come to Christ? Many are asking the same question as did the multitude on the day of Pentecost, when, convicted of sin, they cried out, "What shall we do?" The first word of Peter's answer was, "Repent," Acts 2, verse 37 and 38. At another time, shortly after, he said, "Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out," Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repentance includes sorrow for sin and a turning away from it. We shall not renounce sin unless we see its sinfulness. Unless we turn away from it in heart, there will be no real change in the life. There are many who fail to understand the true nature of repentance. Multitudes sorrow that they have sinned, and even make an outward reformation because they fear that their wrongdoing will bring suffering upon themselves. But this is not repentance in the Bible sense. They lament the suffering rather than the sin. Such was the grief of Esau when he saw that the birthright was lost to him forever. Balaam, terrified by the angel standing in his pathway, with drawn sword, acknowledged his guilt lest he should lose his life. But there was no genuine repentance for sin, no conversion of purpose, no abhorrence of evil. Judas Iscariot, after betraying his Lord, exclaimed, "I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood," Matthew 27:4. The confession was forced from his guilty soul by an awful sense of condemnation and a fearful looking for of judgment. The consequences that were to result to him filled him with terror, but there was no deep, heartbreaking grief in his soul that he had betrayed the spotless Son of God and denied the Holy One of Israel. Pharaoh, when suffering under the judgments of God, acknowledged his sin in order to escape further punishment, but returned to his defiance of heaven as soon as the plagues were stayed. These all lamented the results of sin, but did not sorrow for the sin itself. But when the heart yields to the influence of the Spirit of God, the conscience will be quickened, and the sinner will discern something of the depth and sacredness of God's holy law, the foundation of his government in heaven and on earth. The light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world illumines the secret chambers of the soul, and the hidden things of darkness are made manifest. John 1:9. Conviction takes hold upon the mind and heart. The sinner has a sense of the righteousness of Jehovah and feels the terror of appearing in his own guilt and uncleanness before the searcher of hearts. He sees the love of God, the beauty of holiness, the joy of purity. He longs to be cleansed and to be restored to communion with heaven. The prayer of David after his fall illustrates the nature of true sorrow for sin. His repentance was sincere and deep. There was no effort to palliate his guilt. No desire to escape the judgment threatened inspired his prayer. David saw the enormity of his transgression. He saw the defilement of his soul. He loathed his sin. It was not for pardon only that he prayed, but for purity of heart. He longed for the joy of holiness, to be restored to harmony and communion with God. This was the language of his soul. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean.
Amen, amen. Good evening, my brothers and sisters. This is Sister Leola, and I'm calling from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I just want to thank our God for blessing us one more time that we can come to the prayer line and fellowship and worship before him with our brothers and sisters. I want to welcome all our family from the islands, people from the overseas, everywhere. Welcome on Advent Light Ministry. And one day we pray that you can get a chance to share your scriptures, a song, or just to share a testimony. And we are so thankful for you choose to come and listen to this prayer line, because we know that you could have been somewhere else, but praise God, you are here with us. So we want to thank God for you once again. So let us go into a word of prayer. So our Father, which art in heaven, we come before you to thank you, Father, for this prayer line, and to thank you for all the people in the United States overseas that come to join us in this prayer line. May this prayer line be the blessing, Father, and the worship and fellowship that you deserve, Lord, that you desire for us to be like Jesus. And Father, we thank you so much for your presence, your Holy Spirit, as you dwell with us and on this prayer line. Forgive us for my sins. And Father, we pray, dear Father, for our brothers and sisters that will come to share their testimonies and songs, praise, whatever they come, Father, may you get the glory. And thanking you, Father, for this prayer line. And we pray also for the speaker that will be on this prayer line today. We lift up Brother Akeem tonight, Lord, and may you continue to bless he and his family and his ministry. So once again, Father, as I open up the scripture to read the scripture, the word of God, I'm asking that you bless your word. I'm asking that your word be manifest in our lives, and let this word be in us, and we can be changed. And as I was reading earlier, the Bible, Jesus was, I want to be conformed to his character, and his character was confirmed to the character of his Father. So he loved his Father, and he did his Father's will. So, Father, we just pray that we, as your children, will do what you ask us to do and to seek after Christ in his righteousness. So we ask him for the blessing tonight that you be with us and fill us with your Holy Spirit. And we ask him tonight also, help each and every one of our brothers and sisters as they listen to the message. Father, I'm asking that you will teach us and give us wisdom and knowledge and give us the understanding that we need. And we thank you for all your blessings. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for coming on to share. And I would just like to read from Desire of Ages, Dedication. You know, I looked at this, and as the end, in the reading, Spirit of Prophecy tell us that is that we should spend an hour. I don't know if it was an hour that I spent, but I tell you what, the chapter I did one chapter, and I was going into another chapter, and this really gets deep in my heart, and I begin to search myself and ask myself everything that Jesus did. And I want to just read just a little bit of it, sisters and brothers, because this, we will have to become this. And I'm going to begin. I'm not going to do the whole thing. It's dedication. And I highlighted a few things here. And here we are here. A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto he shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. Acts 3:22. He did not think that this babe was he whose glory Moses has asked to see, but one greater than Moses lay in the priest's arms. And when he enrolled the child's name, he was enrolling the name of one who was the foundation of the whole Jewish economy. The name was to be its death warranty, for the system of sacrifice and offering was wax old. The type had almost reached its antitype, the shadow of its substance. And I want to read this part here. Connell had departed from the sanctuary, but in the Christ of Bethlehem was veiled the glory before which angels bowed. The unconscious babe was the promised seed to whom the first altar at the gate of Eden pointed. This was Shiloh, the peace giver. It was he who declared himself to Moses as the I Am. It was he in the pillar of clouds of fire had been the God of Israel. This was he whom seers had long foretold. He was desirous of all nations, the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. The name of that helpless little babe inscribed the roll of Israel, declaring him our brother, was the hope of fallen humanity, the child from whom the redemption money had been paid, was he who was to pay the ransom sins of the whole world. He was the true high priest over the house of God, the head of the unchangeable priest, the intercessor at the right hand of the majestic on high. Hebrews 10:21, 7:24, and 1:3. And I'm going to stop right there. Oh, I put my name by one. It says, I put my name here. These humble worshipers had not studied the prophecies in vain, but those who held position as rulers and priests in Israel, though they too had before them the precious, were not walking in the way of the Lord, and their eyes were not open to behold the light of life. I put my name there because the Bible tells us that we got to come up higher, and all that our Father allowed his Son to go through, brothers and sisters. He said that the master is not greater than the servant. So we're going to have to come up higher. Amen. So let me begin to open the line for my brothers and sisters. And we ask him that you press 1, and I will open your line. And as I was reading this, my brothers and sisters, I began to pray because there's many, many things that we're going to have to walk that straight and narrow path. And it's going to be, it will be, as Christ says, it will be persecution. It will be some trouble. It will be some pain. But you know what? The only the strong survive. So we ask him that you press 1 and you can share. Amen. Amen. And when I'm going to continue to read, because I don't see no one press 1 yet, I want to read this part. And when I see my sisters and brothers have pressed 1 in the line, I wanted to read something else. Okay, amen, amen. Amen. Let me open the line for 518-951. Your line is open. You can give us your name and where you're calling.
Yes, my dear beloved. This is Sister Powell. Good evening, my dear beloved. Thank you for opening my line. I am calling from Kingston, Jamaica. Thank you for the reading. You know, God is so good. This evening, I just have a lot of great praise report, but I'm going to sing a song again.
You have time.
You hear me?
I can hear you have time. Yes, okay. I can hear right. you have time. You give your praise report and sing.
Okay, I will sing this song and read and give it here. Start it off. I serve a risen Savior, he's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hands of mercy, I hear his voice of care. And just the time we need him, he is very near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with us and he talks with us along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask him how, we know he lives. He lives within our hearts. In all the world around us, we see his loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that he is leading through all the stormy blasts. The day of his appearing will come at last. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask us how we know he lives within our hearts. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujah to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with us and he talks with us along life's narrow way. He lives, I know that he lives within our heart. Praise the Lord, my dear. We know that he lives, and we have to rejoice this evening. And rejoice in reading, singing the song, He Lives. Rejoice in Isaiah 62. And this is 61, sorry. And this is what the word of God has said, good tidings and salvation. Isaiah 22 is just a short little passage. I'm not going to read all, just few verses. It said,
it's okay, Sister
the Spirit
Thomas,
of the Lord God.
One. Read it all.
Okay,
read it, Sister
okay.
Powell.
All right. Okay, okay. The Spirit of the Lord thy God came upon me because the Lord had anointed us to preach good tidings to the meek. He had sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive and the opening of the prison that they are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all those that are mourning. In appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old wastes, and they shall rise up the former desolation, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolation of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flock, and the son of the alien shall be your ploughman and your vengeresses. But he shall be named the priest of the Lord and shall call you the ministers of God. He shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall they bound yourself. For your shame it shall have desolate, and the confusion that shall rejoice in the portion Therefore, in their land, they shall possess the double everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering, and I will direct their work in truth. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, and their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring, and the people, and all they that have their acknowledgement, then they shall receive which the Lord have blessed. Then I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garment of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decked herself with ornament, and in the bride adorned herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth earth bud, and as the garden causeth things of they are seen, springtime, forth the Lord God will cause righteousness and praises to spring forth before all the nations. My dear beloved, what a wonderful scripture. And I go a little further, my dear. Good tidings. God wants us to carry good tidings. That's what Sister Leola just read, a chapter. God wants us. He wants us to go and preach the appointed doctrine that he has given us. So he anointed us to go out here. And the further study is saying, just a little part, it said here, you know, in everything we do, it said guard our countenance with words, tone, and voice. In everything, our countenance, our words, our tone, our voice, right? It also said in the quote, the Lord is not pleased to have his people, you know, to have his people a band of mourners. Yeah? He doesn't want us to be sorrowful. He doesn't want us to be mourned. He wants them to repent of their sins, that they may enjoy the liberty of the Son of God, that they will enjoy what? The liberty, and be filled with praises of God, and will be a blessing to others. I will stop there. Sister Leola, that's what the Lord wants us, that he can cover us with the tree of righteousness, right? Mm-hmm. So he gave us the message and asked us, right, not to keep the message for ourselves, to go and share with others, pray, give praises, right, and to bring people to him. Yes, that is my little comment. It's more, but I want. Yes, now, my dear beloved, my praise report. Sister Leola and others on Advent Light. A while ago, I was here myself. I was getting some rest because we didn't travel this today. And I was getting some rest. Then I heard somebody came and knocked. So when I opened it, it was my two community grandchildren. I don't know if you remember Jordan and Shanique. The two little ones that the mother told us years gone by that they were in America while they were still in Jamaica.
Yes.
So they came to Leola, the son, the Jordan grew big, and the little girl, you know, is really growing up. They came in. So they asked if I have any food. So Sister Leola, I went to the store. I said, I have this hockey. I do some hockey. But they don't like hockey. They said, give me what you have, Grandma. And if you even have a butter or anything like that, put it on it. So I eat up the little girl don't want to eat produce sometimes. You know, don't want to eat that. So I said, this is what I have. She said, oh, they love dumplings. So I cut up her one and I gave her. Asked her if she wants some banana and sweet potato. She said, produce I cook today. So she said, yes, and I gave her. And the big brother said, you have any more, auntie? And I gave him, and they ate. off the plate of food. Sister Leola, these children eat off the food. Anyhow, we were there sitting talking. They said they went to church yesterday, but they didn't see me. I didn't go to church yesterday. Encouraging them, you know, and telling them how the grandfather is a good person because he opened his door and have them here, grandmother, turn them out and have them here. You know what the little young man said to me? Oh, you're not lonely when you're here. I said, no, because Christ is with me here. And, you know, my nephews and nieces is all around. They want to, he want to come and live with me. Can I live with you for? I said, what you said? Can I live with you? I said, why you want to live with me? Because you're a nice person, Grandma. I notice you and, you know, you're a nice person. I said, oh, my dear, I won't be living here, my dear. I'm just here stopping, pass by. And, you know, you are up with your grandfather. And, you know, he's a good person. And you just stay and just pray. By the grace of God, your father may soon take you in America. Sister Leola, but the way in which the guy said, it was coming late, getting late, and I don't want them to walk on the street late. I say, you know what, my dear, you go up for brother, up for your grandfather. Your grandfather is a good person. All you have to do, baby, says, stay close to the Lord. Do not follow out there the world, because the world will suck you in. You know, whatsoever God want to be, want to do, whatsoever God is doing, he will do it in due time. I gave them some changes, you know, because he's going down to go to work. Gave them some changes. But I say this, Sister Leola, to let us know. These are children,
mm-hmm.
right? And they are hearing what they learn, what God has taught them, you know. By looking on an individual and the way in which you treat people, that is what will come out of even the babes.
Mm-hmm.
So I am saying, please to remember those little ones in prayer. You know, please to remember Jordan and Shannon in prayer, that God will should teach them just as all they're teaching. They're learning, right? And to know and that whosoever they come in contact with will show them that love, that kindness, that tender-hearted, that long-suffering that Jesus had paid it all for us because of love. So these children need some love. Just comforting words. Just to sit down that somebody can just give them something and they enjoy it. It may not be the way, you know, it because I would know they would enjoy, but just with my veggie butter with this thing. And they ate it up and enjoy it and gone up quite happy. Because they didn't want what I fixed for my meat kind. Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So please, man. That's my praise report, one of my praise reports. And let other people praise. But God is good to give praises. And, you know, when God gave us this word, you know, he wants us to carry good tidings out there. And we will see the benefit of his love when we go and treat people with love, kindness, respect, despite of who they are. Please to pray for me, Sister Leola, and the group. You know, we are planning to travel maybe tomorrow. I didn't hear any good word about tomorrow, but if we don't go tomorrow, by the grace of God, we will be going Tuesday to do our little finishing part.
Yes, yes.
Amen.
Yes. Amen, amen. Amen. Sister Power, as I listen to you about these little children, how old they are?
One of them is 14 and one of them is 14 and one is 10.
Well, Sister Power, I thought these children, when the grandmother was talking about the children, I thought these children was older than that. I thought they was
no.
Like 21 or I thought they were older young
no,
men. I didn't know they were young children.
It is not 14, it's a little bit over, but not that 21.
Yeah.
They're little children because we was in high school. Now it's not finished high school.
Okay, we're going to lift them up in prayer. Well, we can, we're going to lift those children up in prayer, Sister Power, and also your ministry. And brothers and sisters, these two children, Sister Power is talking about, she called me and talked to me, and the grandmother had told them that the children was there in New York. But when Sister Power found out, the children was in Jamaica. And Sister Power was saying, well, why would she tell me that? But anyway, this is the point. Now those children are coming to seek Sister Power. I don't know if they didn't come to your house in New York. They didn't go to your house in New York, right? Because you were looking for them, right? The children didn't go to your house in New York.
You were looking for them. Same year I saw them.
And they found you. Praise God. Well,
yeah.
God sent those children. You know what, Sister Power? Let me tell you something. Children looking for food, and believe me, God will lead them to that darkest that is doing a work, because you can't find that, you ain't gonna find that all over in no anywhere. If that's got to be a special someone doing the work of God, fixing food, the children heard of you in Jamaica, and many children, sisters and brothers, come to Sister Power house. They looking for food. They're looking for Sister Power to give them a dress or a pair of shoes. All these things is real. They're real. Because Sister Power, what she done in New York, she buy these barrels, and she put, and but now she can't do the barrels, sisters and brothers. She would rather that you give. If you can't give none but $5, you give something. But what she do, she buys shoes or shoes and dresses. And now it's not about shoes and dresses. It's all about survival. It's about getting a pack of beans and rice. Am I right, Sister Powell? I know what I'm talking about there.
Yes.
Because I'm seeing it on the internet myself.
Yes, carry Bibles and all that, and give them books and everything.
Right. So, sisters and brothers, we want to thank God the work Sister Power is doing there, because I see it. I don't know if I sent it to Sister Brenda, but I know Sister Tamika has it. I don't know if Brother Eli have it, but I know most of us have the video that Sister Power is. They're building a house, and if you see what those people was living in, they could, you know, any animal can go and live in there too. So the people, and it rains, and they just got a tent covering their head. So Alex saw that, and he heard about one of Sister Power's friends or cousins told Alex about these people. And the people had their own property, but they just couldn't afford to build the home. And you should go on YouTube. Sister Brenda, I will send it to you if you don't have it, and see what God has done for those people. People all over the world have shared and sent money to help build that house, and that's just a blessing. So, Sister Power, it's such a blessing for the work that you are continuing to do in Jamaica, especially. And now Sister Power is getting ready, brothers and sisters, and sisters and brothers all over the world, Canada, Netherlands, all over, anybody who's listening on a prayer line, if you can go to Alex Nation and look up Alex Nation on YouTube and see how the young 18-year-old is done build a house. I'm telling you. Beautiful house. He built that house for this family that didn't have a home to live in. He built that. And we've just been sending mm-hmm. him some donations. That's all he needs, some donations. You can send $5, whatever God bless you to send. It would be a blessing. So we thank you. And brothers and sisters, we are supporters of one another on the prayer line. And I just want to say, Brother O'Neill has some sea moss. Sea moss heals a lot of things in your body. And you can call Brother O'Neill for that. And Sister Carla has pain salve. Oh, my goodness. It works. It works. I'm going to have to let Brenda try it because I'm telling you, it helps Ray. It helps me. So I'm thankful for this. So we got to help and work it out with each other. And like I say, and if you need any other recipe, Sister Power can give you a recipe. She gave me recipes that to help me to cook very good food. So I just want to thank you, Sister Power, for all the work and the love you've been giving. That's dedication, too, and all that you've been giving to. And I said that if, sister and brother, if you know what humanity award, I believe Sister Powell deserves a humanity award because she done helped many, many people in cooking and cleaning and living clothing and all these things. So, and I just want to thank God for her as she continue on her mission. Amen. And, but we're going to continue and let the others open the other line. So thank you, Sister Powell. So if you can stay with us, by God's grace, I'm going to open your line prayer, but I'm going to lift up your family, your request in prayer. But I'm going to open the other lines first because they are waiting. So thank you so much, Sister Powell, for sharing all of your blessing with us. So, and God hear it, and he will answer according to his will, especially for Sister Rosie now. It's her turn for God to bless. Amen.
Yes,
so we're going to open the next line. Amen. So we're going to open the next line, brothers and sisters. And I believe that was Sister Brenda waiting. So your line is open. That's 985-2342. Your line is open.
Good evening, sister and brother. This is Sister Brenda calling from Houma, Louisiana. I just want to thank God for his mercy and watching over us and waking us up. I heard all the good news by Sister Powell. I am so grateful God is doing great work in our sisters. She's been carrying on through Jamaica with the kids and the people that need help. She's been a great success. And I know if anything can be done, she can do it. God is do it. And thank God for her. I wish I can get caught of the strength she got. But she's a super. A super mom over there, and thank God for her. But we gotta pray because my left shoulder all the way on down to my I don't know, past my little hip is just pain and so bad. I don't know what it is. I was thinking in my heart or whatever, but I don't know. It's just I exercise and it's like things just want to happen. The devil just thinks he's going to hold me, but I can't. I got to exercise. So I want to read a prayer. Father, I thank you for securing a home for me in heaven. Each day the sunrise, light and warm, give me a foretaste of the eternal to come, eternity to come.
Make the light of the life a signpost for me, so that I may walk in your light with my eyes on the finish line, and that I may lead others to your light as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to thank the Lord for such a beautiful prayer that I read and I can understand well. And I just thank him for this prayer. And I just want to just ask for prayer for Advent Light. The members that are on and off, all the missing members, and all those abroad, sick, in the nursing home, the grieving, as well as all those that are sick. Just want to pray for them, ask the Lord to touch them, heal them, and just lift them up. I just want to ask the Lord to pray for the homeless, wherever they're at. Seek them somewhere to stay. We're having some dreary weather, and COVID is still lurking. And actually, just touch these babies and heal them and give them a place to stay and teach them, learn them. All we all need that. Give us a double portion of learning for the Bible and getting closer to the Lord. And just in general, we all need to get closer to God. It's the new year, and a lot of us need to come in and start, because it's getting late. It's 2023. It's no use to plan, so I thank God for everything. Amen. Brother John, coming.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, I'd like to say hello to the brothers and sisters. This is John, Brother John from Home, Louisiana. I just like to thank God for giving us the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding that we need to make it in this world and to make it in life. And I just really thanking him for that, because you know, we're not like animals. We don't have to live on instinct every day, day to day. Animals live on instinct. They don't know what's going to happen next. But we have the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to make a pathway that he installed in us. So we have choices and everything. And I just want to continue making the best choices for my life. And that's all I want to say. So God bless. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank
amen.
You, Brother John, Sister Brenda, for coming to share. You know, it's when you say that's all you want to say, you say it enough, because you know you're coming to thank God. You know you're not coming on here for Sister Leola. You're coming to praise him, to thank him, to just give him praise, as Sister Brenda read that scriptures. But we want to give you thanks, because coming to Advent Light Ministry and supporting the ministry, because without everyone coming on, there will not be a ministry. So we thank everyone for coming to share. So thank you, Brother John, and you are sharing for a good cause. You are worshiping, praising God, and we are fellowshipping together. So thank you for coming on to share. Amen. And brothers and sisters, we're going to go to the next caller. Amen. And that is, give me just a second. Okay, that is 857. 857, your line is open. You can give us your name and where you're calling from.
Amen. Hello, Sister Viola and Sister Power. How are you, beloved? My name's Brother Eli. I'm calling from Boston, Massachusetts. I like to thank God because God is good. He's worthy to be praised, Sister Viola. He's an awesome God. He's a mighty God. He's the King of Kings, and he is the Lord of Lords. And Sister Viola, I want to go to Sister Powell's country one of these days, Jamaica. I would go to Sister Powell's country one of these days. I'm praying on that the Lord will make me come visit Sister Powell's country, come visit Jamaica, come visit Sister Powell's grandchildren, come visit Sister Powell's brothers and sisters. And Sister Miola, I'd like to thank God too, Sister Miola, because God is good. He's worthy to be praised. And Sister Miola, I am so grateful to Sister Miola for Sister Tamiko for her help, Sister Miola. And Sister Miola, I would like to thank Sister Tamiko for her help. And Sister Miola, I'm so grateful for Sister Tamiko. I would like to thank her. I would like to thank God for her because she is a nice, she is a very nice person. She is a loving person on this Adeline ministry. She always cares. She always you know, Sister Viola. She's always kind. She's loving. She's grateful. She's so grateful. Oh, Sister Viola, I want to say hallelujah because Sister Viola, I would like to thank Sister Tamiko for her help very, very, very much. Sister Viola, I'm so happy. I'm so happy, Sister Powell. Oh my God, Sister Powell. Oh my God, Sister Powell. I have a joy in my heart, Sister Powell. I have a joy like joy of tears, Sister Miola. I like to thank God because God is good. He's worthy to be praised. He's an awesome God. He's a mighty God. I like to thank Sister Tamiko, Sister Miola. Thank you, Sister Tamiko for your support, my dear sister. Please lift me up in prayer and please lift up my mother in prayer and please pray for me, Sister Miola, that the Lord will put me in the third floor. I'm praying that God will put me on the third floor. Thank you.
Amen.
May God bless you amen. All. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Yes, yes, Brother Eli. We will lift you up in prayer. Sister Powell will lift you up in prayer. And we all will lift you up in prayer, in our personal prayers, we lift you up, Brother Eli. So don't worry. And we also thank the Lord for Sister Tamiko also. But we're going to go and open the next line so we can get to all our brothers and sisters. Amen. So 272, we're going to open your line now. Amen. And you can give us
Amen.
Your name, where you're calling from.
Amen. Thank you for opening my line, Sister Leola. God bless you. This is Sister Tamiko from Pennsylvania. And I thank Brother Eli as well for praying for each and every one of us on this prayer line. And I just want to give the Lord as well praise and honor and glory because he is so worthy to be praised. He takes care of us each and every day. He provides our every need according to his riches and his glory through Christ Jesus. So I'm so grateful for the Lord. And I thank him for bringing me through another week. Protecting me, protecting my daughter as she goes to work every day, watching as she goes to and fro, and blessing her and keeping her protected from the enemy. So I'm just so grateful, my sister. And I would like to read the Psalms 100. Says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lambs. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. Excuse me. It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all nations. Amen. Amen. I have a song I would like to sing. If it's okay, I pray I have enough time. Amen. Amen. Thank you. The song is Power in the Blood.
Amen.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There is power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you all evil a victory win? There is wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There is power in the blood. Power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There is wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus, your King? There is power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live dearly his praises to sing? There is wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I thank you so much, my sister, for opening my line, and I would like to lift up all my beloved brothers and sisters on this event prayer lines this evening and ask for prayer for my family, for my children, for my grandchildren, for Sister Powell, and for Alex Nation, for the Williams family, and for Sister Rosie. I'm so happy to hear what Sister Powell is doing, and she's been doing this for many years. I truly agree that she should win an award for humanity because she's constantly helping people with their needs and cooking for them and doing wonderful things and bringing the team over to Jamaica to help Alex to build a home for the Williams family. So I'm just so grateful for her, and I will continue to keep Sister Powell in prayer, and Alex and all of her precious friends in Jamaica, her children, her grandchildren as well. And I will continue to lift up all my precious brothers and sisters on this prayer line. I thank you so much. I love you all, and God bless you. Please keep me in prayer as well. Thank you. Love you all. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. The power in the blood. Oh, praise God, from whom all blessing flows. The power that's in the blood, brothers and sisters. He said that if he would, if when he died, you know what? That blood is the ransom for our sins. I praise God, because you know what? If God had not offered his son, where would we be? What would happen to us? Oh, praise God, the power in the blood. Now we can pray. And in the name of Jesus, oh, I'm telling you, that evil, those things will flee just because of the name. Oh, praise God, my brothers and sisters. We thank you, Sister Tamika. And we're going to go into prayers and lift these up, but we got another line we're going to open up. And we're going to ask our sister to lift up some prayers after we open her line. Amen. We got line 240-988. We're going to open your line. And can you just share your name and where you're calling from? 40-988. Your line is open. I believe that's Sister Stephanie. I know she's probably away from the phone, but she got it on. Sister Stephanie, 40. I believe that's Sister Stephanie. She got her hand up. 240. Your line is open.
Check if your phone is on mute.
Say that again.
Just tell her to check her phone if it's on mute. Maybe she
Sister Stephanie, check and see if your phone is on mute. Your line is open. Yeah, her phone probably is on mute. My phone, yeah, she probably not realized. But Sister Stephanie, your line is open. Check and see if your phone is on mute.
Go to another line.
Yeah, she was waiting. I'm gonna have to give her. I'm gonna have to text her and. Oh, Sister Powell, you can give her. Wait a minute, I can give her a call another way. But Sister Powell, just take over for me, and I'm gonna just let her know that I got a phone line open. So, take over for me,
no.
Sister Powell.
What you said I must do?
Oh, take
my
over.
My line is open.
Yeah.
My line is open.
Yes, ma'am, your line is open.
Yes, my dear beloved, is there anyone else would like to share? We are going into actually season of prayer now, but if there is anyone who would like to share a praise report, you know, you can maybe do it briefly now while Sister Leola is checking the line here.
No one else likes to share.
Well,
okay. No one else wants to share.
So this is the time that we can go in prayer now. All right. Yes, my dear beloved, we want to thank Sister Tamiko a while ago for that thing. There is power in the blood, and also Brother Eli requests he's asking. You know, giving praise and bringing glory to God for what Sister Tamika has been doing, the part of his life. And that is very, very good to know that, you know, we are here to comfort, we are here to strengthen, and we are here to lift up each other. So that's really a blessing when we come on a line and to hear what God's children is doing, because that is the work that God have given unto us, and that he, as we read a while ago in Isaiah 6, the good tidings of salvation, and good tidings of salvation is God wanted, said the Spirit of the Lord came upon me to preach good tidings unto the meek, right? He sent us to bind up the brokenhearted. He wants us to do that. He wants us to feed. He wants us to support. He wants us to strengthen. He wants us to encourage. And that is the way, the work that we as God's children have to do. So if there is no other one on the line, we are going to go into a season of prayer until Sister Leela come back. Sister Leela, you are back? You got her?
All right. I text her. Sister Stephanie, your line is open. Okay, she may be busy. Okay, Sister Powell. Yes, well, can you lift up? I'm gonna lift your prayer request up, Sister Powell. Can you lift up Brother Eli and Sister Brenda and Sister Tamiko? Amen?
Uh-huh. All right. Yes, my dear beloved, we're going into a season of prayer.
Sister Powell, I wanted to mention Brother Rick. I spoke to Brother Rick this evening. He's been very busy with his grandparents and mother, Ashley. Lift him up in prayer also because he got a lot going on. Amen?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Yes, my dear beloved, our dear beloved Brother Rick. We have not been hearing from him, but we know he was busy. We know that. The last few months he was going through difficulties. His mother and father home was burned down. And we know that Brother Rick is hard doing maybe on the construction field, you know, to get his mother and his father back home, go keep, you know, building. And this is a difficult time for him, you know, so we have to remember Brother Rick in prayer. Let's pray. Lord in heaven, the most holy sanctuary, Father, King of the universe, Creator of all mankind, heaven and earth belongs to you. We, your children, come before you this moment, giving you thanks and praise for what you have done in our life. We want to thank you for forgiving us of all our many sins and our shortcomings. We want to thank you for your words that you have given unto us, the light of your words, that we can come here on this line to share and to bring praises unto your holy name. We want to thank you for your sons and your daughter who came on this line, sharing their joy, their love, their peace, their happiness that you have given unto them by expressing their gratitude to you, to allow you to know how much they appreciate everything, the blessing of your word, blessing in songs, blessing in introducing love, and also blessing of helping others. Lord, we want to thank you. Now, dear Father, there are so many names we have. We have in front of us with Brother Eli, Sister Brendan, Brother John, Tamiko, Sister Tamiko and her family. And we also have, dear Father, my list, Lord, Brother Rick, Father of famous, favorite elder. Lord, we just want to come to you. You know your sons and your daughter. You know the desire of their heart. You know what they need. Heavenly Father, we do not know, but they have present their requests to you. The burdens are lifted on Calvary, and we know you promise that you will take our burdens. You are our burden bearer. So now, Lord, we lift up Brother Eli to you, giving you praise and joy in his heart for Sister Tamiko. What Sister Tamika have been doing by comforting words and showing the love that he needed, Lord, and the respond, and also joy in his heart that he removed to the third floor and deco. Father, you are so good. Please, Lord, allow Brother Eli to see how good you are. And I think I heard a few months ago that he was removed from one floor to another floor, and now he's removing to another floor. Father, we ask you to allow Brother Eli, Lord, to see and to know that you are there by his side. And Father, help him, Lord, that as he goes to Deco, third floor, that he will stay at Deco and that he will show his love, shine his light to everyone there. It may be difficult, but Lord, you are there. And you promised Brother Eli that you will never leave him nor forsake him. You will be there for him. So as he lifts up his dear beloved mom, he asks you to strengthen her. He is lifting up all his friends. You know them. Father, we ask you to keep them. His new friends that he got, you know everyone by name. We lift them up to you. And Lord, their family members. And also, Brother Eli, desire is for them to draw closer and have a relationship with you, so that they can share your joy, your peace, your happiness, your truth to the world. Father, we come before you again with Sister Brenda and Brother John. What a joy. Lord, as happiness come down is a feeling, but when joy came in the heart, from the heart, we know that is your love, your mercy, and the Holy Spirit. So we thank you for using Brother John and Sister Brenda in a mighty way, as they can minister to others, even their grandchildren, read the books, the words, and tell them stories with songs, Lord. Her daughter, her son, and her community that she's in, and the life that you have given unto her, despite her pain and ache at times. But she knows she have a great physician, Jesus Christ, who promised her that he can cure all the diseases in the land. And we saw what he has done. So, Lord, we place Sister Brenda under your care and Brother John, Lord, as a testimony of life. You brought back life in his body and allow him to give you the praise now, day by day, minute by minute, hour by hour. So we want to thank you. And we here are rejoicing with them because we know what you have done for them. So we just want to say thank you. We also lift up our dear Sister Tamiko. Thank you for the joy, the peace, the happiness, the word, the truth, the light that you have given unto her. And as she's sharing it around her community, both when she goes to her appointment, the doctors, the stores, and everywhere she goes, she is presenting your word and sharing your books, Lord, and tracts out there. And I know, as you said, those tracts have to be go out there like autumn leaves. So, Lord, we just want to thank you for helping her and give her the strength and providing for her and her children, Kaisha and Tony, Juna, and also her grandchildren and her son and son-daughter-in-law. We present them to you, Father, and thank you for the joy of receiving our children this holiday, that they could come and spend some time and share their love with their grandparents. Father, we just want to thank you for that. Heavenly Father, you said we must pray without ceasing. And we do not know what to pray for. But as the Holy Spirit teach us, Lord, allow us, Lord, to be humble. And allow us, Lord, to abide in you so that you will give us what to say and how to say it and how a word you will place as it placed to you in the most holy sanctuary. You will hear and you will answer them according to your will and your purpose. We lift up our dear brother Rick to you. Father, continue to pour your blessings. Lord, I have great responsibility he has. The church work is for own work, Lord Jesus, in building. Father, you are blessing so much so that he can bless others by the truth, the word, and other helping, Lord. I can say, Lord Jesus, you have been using him. So, Father, I know even in this sad situation of the building of his mom's house, Lord, that was burned down, Father, I have to give him the strength, give him the power, the means, so that he will complete that house that is his desire at this time. And we thank you for the courage, encouragement that, and the love that mom and dad got during this time. And Father, the peace in their heart so that they will know that you promised them that you will never leave them and that that house will be built. Father, we lift up again to you as soon time for our speaker. We lift up the speaker and every one of else, Lord, that Sister Leola will pray for. We lift them up to you. Bless us, we pray. Thank you for hearing, answering our prayer in Jesus' name. With thanksgiving, amen. Amen, amen.
Amen, amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Powell, for lifting up all those prayers. And brothers and sisters, as Sister Powell lifting up prayers, we are including you. And definitely, we need prayers today. So let us see, Sister Powell, if Sister Stephanie then join us. Sister Stephanie, 240-988, I believe it's Sister Stephanie. Your line is open. Are you there? Can you hear us? I don't know if she can hear us, Sister Powell. Or maybe her line. I don't know. Maybe she's busy, but I'll text her.
Okay, so you can do the other prayer.
I'll do the other prayer. But look, we have some others. We have some others join us right now. So, brothers and sisters, you still have a minute here that you have time that you can press 1 and you can share. Maybe you have a request for a family member, someone you like to ask for a request for prayer. Maybe you would like to for us to pray for you. But whatever your heart leads you, we ask that you would please press 1, and you can share your testimony. If you have a testimony, you can press 1, and your line could be open. This prayer line is for brothers and sisters. We come together, fellowship. We love one another. And God is with us on this prayer line. We've been here for a long time. And brothers and sisters, and now that you join us, we ask that you share. Don't be shy, because, you know, none of us on here are perfect. And for me, myself, I'm hosting, but nothing about me is perfect. So please don't be shy to share and share or give us your, or you can, if you're able, if you want to pray, you can offer a word of prayer. So by God's grace, you can press 1 and your line will be open. But if no one, 1, I'm going to go in. Amen. Amen. We have a brother or sister press 1, Sister Power. Let us open this line. And Sister Stephanie, whenever you can hear us, just come in and let us know you're on the line. Okay, we're going to open the line for 213-318. We're going to open your line. And you can give us your name and where you're calling from. Amen?
Amen, amen. Good evening, Sister
Leola.
This is Sister Carla. This is Sister Carla. I'm calling from this.
Yes, Sister Carla, I hear you.
Amen. To get to join through this number on the Wi-Fi connection. So I just thank the Lord for, you know, using these technology for us to, you know, call in and to get together. So I just thank the Lord for blessing. I thank you for his mercy, his love. I was able to help a sister today to go to the store, get things that she needed, and just help her to, you know, to get the things that she needed also, and to visit another dear sister and fellowship. And, you know, that's what God wanted us to do, to be able to help each other and to be a light unto each other, especially those of the household. So, you know, again, the Lord for that, for me being able to do that. So I just want to encourage my brothers and sisters, we have to co-labor with God, you know, and as we know, it is through the power of the word that souls are to be delivered out of darkness into light. So we have to eat up the word. We have to read the word. We have word. We have to speak the word into being, and we have to have faith so that we can be able to help our brothers and sisters and direct them to that, to Christ. You know, he is the true light of the world. So I just want to encourage each and every one of you. And as the new year is going fast, you know, may we stay connected to the source. May we stay in Christ no matter what happened around us. We will see a lot going on. But may we stay connected to the source of life, source of light, source of our health, our strength, source of our well-being, source of our faith. May we stay grounded and connected to Jesus. So thank you again for opening up my life. Amen.
Thank you, Sister Carla, for doing your best to get on, because I didn't recognize the number, but thank God you made it on with us.
Praise
and
the Lord.
I will begin, yes, I will begin to lift up other prayers, because brother, our brother will be with us shortly. But let me ask this, Sister Stephanie, if she's on now. We're going to say 240-988. Sister Stephanie, are you connected with us now? Okay, she probably is busy. Okay, let us lift up the other prayers. Sister Power have lifted up prayers, and I will do pray, lift up Sister Power in her ministry. And also, Brother Akeem is on with us now, sisters and brothers, so let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, we come before you once again, Father, to thank you, Father, for this prayer line, and thank you for our brothers and sisters that join in on this prayer line to pray, to give testimonies, to share the scripture reading, to sing all these things, Father. And now, Lord, we lift up Sister Power in her ministry. Lord, we lift up Sister Rosie, Father. Lord, you know all about her, Father. You see her need. And, Father, we ask that you provide, Father, first of all, the home that is beginning to break the broken ground already, I believe. And Father, we ask that you provide all the money it needs to bring this home up for Miss Rosie, Father. And also, Father, we pray for those children that came to Sister Powell and seeking Sister Powell, want to live with Sister Powell because they see in her the righteousness, the love of Christ, and they ask to live with her. Children, the Bible tells us, children knows the and they seek out the people in righteousness. So, Father, I thank you so much that these children saw in Sister Powell the right in her and desire to be with her, Father. Oh, Father, as they sought out Christ and they desired to sit on his lap and to be with him because they felt the love. And now, Father, as we pray and lift up Sister Powell, ministry to you, Father, may this continue blessing be upon her and all the ministry, all the people she come in contact with, Father. May they know that the word of God has come to them that this day that they can accept Christ. And please, Father, don't allow them to reject, but help them to understand, Father, that salvation had came to them today and that they don't reject it. So, Father, thank you so much for sending Sister Powell at a time as this to many people, Lord, because COVID had kept her away for a long time. But now, Father, it's going out like a wildfire. And, Father, she is spreading that gospel. So thank you. From building houses to fixing food and serving food and taking care of people, clothing and all kinds of things, shoes on their feet. Thank you, Jesus. And, Father, we also lift up Sister Powell and her health. We lift up her home to you, Father, as the children asking who lived with you. Lord, thank you, Jesus, that Jesus tell us to be very careful because that we don't have to reveal everything, but be very, very careful because you just don't know who's coming or what people are trying to do. So thank you, Father, for protecting her and being with her throughout the day and the night when she sleeps. Lord, you know your servant. And, Lord, Father, take care of her. Now, Father, we also lift up Sister Katie, Father, once again to you, Father. Her children, Lord, Father, lift her up to you, Lord, Father. She asking that you provide for a home that she can get into the country, Father. She pray for her son that you continue to strengthen her son, convict him and allow him to accept the word and begin to seek Christ and his righteousness and bring the children. And Lord Father, we ask you to help strengthen those little boys, Lord Father, because God, you have blessed those boys because Lord, they are still living. There was a time, Lord, that was all we pray. Those children didn't seem like they was going to make it. But Father, you have come out victory that these children are strong and they're walking and they're running around. Thank you, Jesus, for the prayers and the consistent in prayers and praying for these children. And now, Lord, they're doing better. Thank you, Father, to come out of a serious, dangerous surgery. So thank you for what you have done. Now, Father, we also thank you for Sister Carla. She come on and the work she's doing, Father, asking that you continue to bless her and keep her safe, Lord, while she out there driving and moving about, Father. We just praise you. We lift up Brother O'Neill to you too, Father, blessing him and keeping him throughout his ministry. Oh, Father, we just thank you, and I'm second the prayer that Sister Power has prayed. I lift up Sister Stephanie and her children to you, Father. And I lift up, oh, Father, thank you, Father, for this prayer line, lifting it up to you, lifting up Brother Akeem and his family, thanking you for Brother Akeem and the message that he brings to us on this prayer line. A faithful brother, Lord, not 1 year he has given up. He has come every year. He shows his faith. And, Lord, we thank you for what you're doing through Brother Akeem. Now, bless him tonight. Pour out your spirit upon this prayer line, Lord, that we may get a good understanding of your word. And, Lord, we know that the time is near. So, please, put your word in your servant heart that we need to hear for this day, Father. And we give you thanks and praise. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And if I miss anyone, Lord, you know the name and you know where they are. You know whether they're here or wherever. Father, we lift them up to you and may you bless them and keep them, especially lead and guide them. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank you, brothers and sisters,
amen,
for being patient.
Amen.
Amen. And Brother Akeem should be on with us right now. And let us open the line for him at this moment. Amen. 301, your line will be open. Your line is open.
All
Amen.
Right, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
All right. Okay. I'm so glad to be back on. And give me 1 second, friends. Give me 1 second.
Amen.
All right. We are in the book of John, chapter 7, and I'm glad to be back on this evening. And as we study God's word, we're just going to be studying some of the principles that he's spoken about as it concerns evangelism and the work that he has called each and every one of us to do. The reason I wanted to touch on this topic, we've touched on the city work a few weeks ago, but one of the things that I was, as we just passed a certain time of year, a friend of mine, he said to me, he said, Akeem, I want to get you something, man. What is it? If there was something that you would like to have, he said, what would you like? And I mentioned to him, brother, there's one book that I really want right now, and that book is the book Evangelism. And he said, I will get that book for you. And so he got the book for me. He actually works at a bookstore. And so he got the book for me, and I've been reading that book, and it is truly powerful. And it truly reveals that we have the system that God has given us to work with. And the call is to really give ourselves to that work that he has given to us. And so as we go into this subject this evening, my prayer is that our hearts and minds will be strengthened, invigorated, as we seek to follow Jesus, the great pattern. And so let's have a word of prayer as we start. Father, guide and strengthen us, and use us for your name's honor and glory. Forgive us of our sins, and forgive me of my sins, Lord, and use me as a conduit to express your heart. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. All right, so John chapter 7, it states there in John chapter 7, after these things Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, that is, meaning among the Jews. Because why? The Jews sought to kill him. So one of the studies that we had gone over was the study of the man with the withered hand. And I believe that was taken from the book of John as well. And we looked at that story as it relates to the Sabbath, as it relates to Jesus Christ healing this man on the Sabbath, also his disciples partaking of certain food that usually, according to the tradition of the scribes and Pharisees, they should not have partaken, but they partook of it, and as a result, there was much hatred against Jesus as a result of that decision. But Jesus was revealing to them that his true work was to place the Sabbath in its right position, to show men and women the rightful place that the Sabbath held in creation and in redemption and in their lives, and the work that he was doing as Lord of the Sabbath. But it's not just that. According to the book of John chapter 7, Jesus did something really powerful. So one of the things that we saw is in Jesus healing this man's withered hand, we saw the manifestation of the medical missionary work. We saw that the results of the manifestation of the medical missionary work, of going out into the highways and byways, not just applying the natural remedies, but for with helping people with the things in their home, with helping people with the needs that they have. All of these, as you go through the spirit of prophecy and you go through scripture and Jesus' life, we begin to realize that all of these things, encouraging others and strengthening them when they're downtrodden, all of these things comprise the medical missionary work. And so as we were looking at this, we saw that the result of that was that there was much hatred against Jesus because he chose to do that work, especially on the Sabbath. And that's one of the things that we saw as well. Yes, there are certain things that we are called not to do on the Sabbath. But one of the things I realized, friends, the Lord is calling us to really show in being Seventh-day Adventists, to really show to the world, is not to emphasize. There are times when you will have to say the things that we do not do. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about the call to refrain from secular labor on the Sabbath. There's no doubt that God is calling us away from certain things, whether it be foods such as meat, dairy, eggs, these kind of things. It is true that there is a lot of things that God is calling us away from. But one of the things, one of the beautiful things that inspiration points out was that the emphasis of Jesus' ministry was not the don'ts. It was to show people a better way. And friends, that is something that I realized personally I have to master as a Seventh-day Adventist, because many times people know us for what we don't do. And so as a result, they're thinking, man, this entire religious movement is just saying to me, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do that, not realizing that there are so many things that we can do. And if we were to emphasize those things, oh, how attractive Jesus would appear. Oh, how attractive to other people would the movement of Seventh-day Adventism be to the people. And this is what God wants, because Ellen White tells us that Christ is attractive. Ministry of Healing tells us, you've heard me quote it over and over again, that the synagogues in Palestine were not enough to hold the crowds that gathered to hear him, whether it be crowds of skeptics or crowds of people who did believe or crowds of people who were just curious. Christ was attractive, and this is what every Seventh-day Adventist should be. Now, why was he attractive? Because he showed the people what they could be, what they could do. And hence, the reason I bring this up is because the emphasis of Jesus' ministry, the emphasis of Jesus' work, Sabbath, just like any other day, even though there would have definitely been things that he didn't do, but friends, there was one thing that didn't change when it came to the Sabbath, and that was service. He served others as a medical missionary, applying his healing power to others. That tells me that the medical missionary work can be done on the Sabbath. It tells me that as Seventh-day Adventists, we are called to seek out creative ways in which we can enter into the homes of people and encourage them. And if the opportunity provides itself and their hearts are open, to apply the remedies that God has given and take people with us, that they in turn may see that work and be encouraged to realize, whoa, we can do a lot on the Sabbath. It's not just about going to church. It's not just about hearing a sermon. It's about service. And so, friends, God is calling us to realize what we can do. And so one of the things that I was looking at, so in light of chapter 7, John chapter 7 and verse 1, it states here, after these things, now look at the result of the medical missionary work that Jesus was doing. It says, after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry. Why? The Jews sought to kill him. So that's how much an effect his ministry had, not just because of what he was doing on the weekdays, but because of what he was doing on the Sabbath, destroying the traditions of the scribes and the Pharisees. And I'm afraid that that is what has crept into Adventism, a movement that at its foundations was supposed to be against man-made traditions. There are many times when we place upon ourselves restrictions that the Bible nor the spirit of prophecy has stated. And as a result, our ministry to others is hindered. Now, I'm not saying go and do secular work, go and mow people's lawns. That we can do in the week. There's so much service that we can do in the week. But on the Sabbath, we must also serve in seeking to visit others, seeking to uplift them, seeking to apply the remedies that God has given if the opportunity lends itself. God is calling us to do this kind of work and to set aside the traditions and opinions that we have made morals. God is calling us to do a work that as it is led by the Spirit, it will blow the minds of the people away and draw them to want to hear the truth. And because Jesus did this and set aside all the traditions of the scribes and the Pharisees, friends, it was powerful. And this is what I believe. This is one of the reasons I believe God will allow the persecution to come in the end, because it will purify man-made traditions that have been placed upon God's people, removing the shackles and causing us to go forth with such power, a purified movement, still an organized movement, going forth to do a work that will ultimately finish the work. Now, notice what Jesus does here. Jesus does this work. He's walking and he's doing this work of hiding out from the Jews. But look at the context. It says in verse 2, now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence and go unto Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, shew thyself to the world. In other words, they wanted Jesus' ministry to go viral. Why? Because of fame. But Jesus, on the other hand, was not thinking about that. But there's a principle in the story that is so amazing. It is so powerful. And I'll bring out a very touchy issue as we cover this, because I realized, whoa, this is kind of scary. So this is one of the reasons I touched on this. So the people, the brethren of Jesus, wanted him to make his ministry go viral for the sake of fame. But Jesus was not about that. It actually states that Jesus did not put his trust in men, because he knew the hearts of men, that they would be with him at one moment and not with him in the next moment. It says in verse 5, for neither did his brethren believe in him. So not only was it about the fame, but friends, his brethren doubted what he was really about and who he really was. And that's why a lot of times they challenged his ministry. They may have heard certain things, but they wanted a public demonstration for the sake of their curiosity being satisfied. And so verse 5 says, for neither did his brethren believe in him. And look at Jesus' answer. Then Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hates, because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up unto the feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet fully come. And what is he saying? Whenever Jesus makes this statement, my time is not yet come, what he's saying is he's referring to the final persecution that he would endure, from Gethsemane all the way to Calvary, the pressure of the weight of the sins of the world, especially the arrests and the beatings and the antagonism of the priests influencing Rome, all of these things he would go through. But he knew that his time was not yet. Why? Because he knew that his ministry, according to Daniel 9, was to last 3.5 years. And that time was not yet up. So he knew that he had to be wise in how he operated, not operating in such a way to fulfill people's curiosity. But he would still go up to the feast. Notice he does not say in verse 6, he does not say, my time will not come. Or he does not say, my time is not come. But rather he says, my time is not yet come. He says, the world cannot hate you, but me it hates, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up unto the feast. And then he says this, not that I won't go up, but that I go not up yet unto this feast. Now, something to keep in mind is that this is a feast that they're talking about, similar to the Passover, but this is the Feast of Tabernacles, a different feast. And as this feast is happening, just like the other feasts that God called the Jews to celebrate, many people are gathered at this feast. Many people, many Jews are coming together for the celebration of this feast. And so the place will be insanely populated. And that's why it says he was very careful at that time, but he would go up. It's just not with his brethren. And when they're talking about his glory, they don't realize that his glory, they're thinking his glory is him working miraculous deeds and all of these things. They don't realize that his glory is actually the cross. Hence, he says, my time has not yet come. In other words, they may not understand what he's referring to. They're thinking, oh, it's not time for him to work miracles. But he's thinking the full scope of his ministry coming to an end at Calvary. Now, it says in verse 9, when he had said these words unto them, he still abode in Galilee. So he waited. But when his brethren were gone up, so he waited for them to leave, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. So this is powerful, and this is why I made sure to emphasize the meaning of my time has not yet come. And when he said, I'm not going up yet, the idea is that he was not going to go up with them. But once they were gone, his brethren were gone, he went up separately. That means he saw that, okay, now is the best time for me to go. It says, then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, where is he? So a lot of people were looking for him at this gathering. It says, and there was much murmuring amongst the people concerning him, for some said, he is a good man. Others said, nay, but he deceiveth the people. So the news, and keep in mind, you remember one of the reasons that this was happening was because of his teaching and because of the medical missionary work that he was doing. His fame had spread everywhere. It says in verse 13, howbeit no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews, but about the midst of the feast, so at the very middle of the feast, at the very time when it was probably halfway through the Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus went up into the temple, and then he began to teach. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? And look at Jesus' words. My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaks of himself seeks his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keeps the law? Why? Because he said, why go ye about to kill me? Now the people then say, thou hast a devil. Who is going about to kill you? Who goeth about to kill thee? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and ye all marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers, and you on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? So do you see he's going back to the medical missionary work? Verse 24, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Howbeit, we know this man whence he is. But when Christ comes, no man knoweth whence he is. And then finally, then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, ye both know me, and you know whence I came. And I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom you know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour, do you see, check this out, because his hour was not yet come. So do you see what this is saying? Even though he went up at that point, he knew that that was not the time that he was going to die. So he can do this work, but he had to do it in serious wisdom. But I want us to notice a pattern here that we must follow, friends. And it is a pattern that I am seeking to do in my own life, if I am close to it, that I would seek to do it. And that if possible, that I would seek to even ignite it. And this is something that God is calling all of us to do. Notice, Jesus had the custom of not being afraid to choose the times when people were gathered in large numbers to come among the people and to seek to influence them with the word. Now, why do I say that? Whether it be Passover, whether it be the Feast of Tabernacles, whether it be another feast, many times as you read throughout the Gospels, Jesus chose these times where multitudes were gathered to come among them and teach. And friends, to do it in such a subtle way, notice he didn't come and try to destroy what other people were doing. No, he came, and where he could, he sought to gain an influence by teaching. And friends, so must it be with each and every one of us, that in the times when we know that in our cities that there's going to be large gatherings, we must gather at those gatherings and to speak the word of truth, whether it be, and this is how I know, because some of my friends, they were like, Akeem, I don't know about open-air preaching. I don't know if that's biblical. Friends, Jesus did that. He gathered and he spoke words of power and encouragement and life. And friends, we have to be careful with that as well, because there are preachers today, as they gather and they preach, they are so intense that they push the people away. It's not only that, they speak condescendingly to the people. But friends, as you look at Jesus' words, many times when he spoke in large gatherings, it was a solemn message. But it was not just a call to repentance from sin, but it was a call of the people to life, because Christ knew the hardships that the people were facing. And friends, this is what we have to do. Now, this is a laid down, actually, an inspiration, and this is why I wanted to bring it up, Evangelism, page 35. And I know that there are some people, maybe on this line, there may not be, but there may be people who are against compilations. But friends, remember, based on the very counsel of inspiration, Ellen White actually gave the White Estate the right to put together her writings in sections based on topics. That's why we have compilations. So don't get distracted by that. But even if so, then you can read the book and the very place from which it was originally taken. You can go back and trace it back to the very original writing itself. But friends, don't forget, Ellen White gave the White Estate the very right to make compilations, to take certain themes and put them into books. So this is not against, compilations are not against inspiration. They are actually following the counsels of inspiration. Now it states here on page 35, I was given instruction that as we approach the end, there will be large gatherings in our cities, as there has recently been in St. Louis, and that preparation must be made to present the truth at these gatherings. When Christ was, so how does she know this? The statement continues, when Christ was upon this earth, he took advantage of such opportunities. Wherever a large number of people was gathered for any purpose, his voice was heard, clear and distinct, giving his message. Do you see that? That's open-air preaching. It says, and as a result, here's what happens, because some people say, well, you know, that doesn't work because, you know, like there's no immediate fruit. You might get one person from that. But friends, And that's the issue. The issue is that many times because we don't see immediate results, we think things don't work. But friends, all that we might realize, the ripple effects of one good deed, that friends, we may not see it here, but in the hereafter, when Jesus comes, we will be shocked at the power of small, what we considered small or fruitless. We'll realize how powerful it was. It says, why do I know this? Because it says, as a result, that means as a result of him going in these places and speaking, she says, after his crucifixion and ascension, thousands were converted in a day. Now, what is she referring to? She's referring to Acts chapter 2. Friends, thousands were converted in a day. But many people think it's just because of Peter's preaching. No, friends. It was because of many of the works and the groundwork that was laid by Jesus during the 3.5 years of his ministry. The seeds that were planted were reaped by the disciples on the day of Pentecost. Jesus Christ on the earth did not even see the full fruit of what was coming in the time when he was preaching. But afterward, the full fruit was manifested. It says, and as a result, after his crucifixion and ascension, thousands were converted in a day. The seed sown by Christ sank deep into the hearts and germinated. And when the disciples received the gift of the Holy Spirit, the harvest was gathered in. The disciples went forth and preached the word everywhere with such power that fear fell upon their opposers. And they dared not do that which they would have done had not the evidence been so plain that God was working. And this is the power that we need today. My mom and I were just talking about it, and some of my friends and I were just talking about it yesterday and a few Sabbaths ago. We were like, man, like, what is, why is it that as we preach, whether it be our churches or different places, that so few people come? But what we came to realize is because the demonstration of the Spirit's power is lacking. And E.J. Wagner, one day he brought this out in one of his books. He said, in one of his writings, he says, where the Spirit is in its fullness, in his fullness, all of the gifts will be manifested. All of the gifts. That means if we are not having the fullness of the Spirit as a movement, it's no wonder that some of the gifts are lacking. It's no wonder that we hear here and there places about people experiencing powerful, amazing things, but at the same time, it's not everywhere. Why? Because the Spirit's power is limited as a result of the limited surrender that God's people are giving. But once the surrender is full and the Spirit's manifestation is full, then all of the gifts will be manifested. And friends, just as signs and wonders will be done in Satan's camp, so will signs and wonders attend the believers at the end of time. God is calling us to experience the fullness of what he wants to do. Because once that's done, friends, it will destroy the arguments of atheists. It will destroy the arguments of skeptics, of people who stand in direct opposition to God's truth, such as Babylon. Friends, this is what God desires to do. The statement continues, at every large gathering, some of our ministers should be in attendance. They should work wisely to obtain a hearing, to get the light of the truth before as many people as possible. We should improve every such opportunity as that presented by the St. Louis Fair. At all such gatherings, there should be present men whom God can use. And not only men whom God can use, but along with these men, leaflets containing the light, that is tracts, containing the light of present truth to be scattered among the people like the leaves of autumn. To many who attend these gatherings, these leaflets, that is our tracts, signs of the times or glow tracts, would be as the leaves of the tree of life, which are for the healing of the nation. So this is why, while it is true there is an online work that we are supposed to do. A lot of people right now, many people rather read e-books or tracks online, and we should be doing something with that. There is no doubt, friends, and there is no sin in that. We must not put our opinion on it and say, well, no, that doesn't work. Friends, we must work with the time as long as it does not contradict the Word of God. But at the same time, while doing that, we must not forget that going out and handing a person a tract is just as powerful. And it causes us to come out of our bubbles, to go out and to live a life of evangelism. That to many who attend these gatherings, these leaflets, the tracts, would be as the leaves of the tree of life, which are for the healing of the nations. I send you this, my brethren, that you may give it to others. Those who go forth to proclaim the truth shall be blessed by him who has given them the burden of proclaiming the truth. And this is why, to a great degree, it's those who are doing this who are experiencing the power. But as a church, many times there are people who shy back from doing this. And it may mean that God may call you to say, hey, well, if you're not going to go out, give of your means to support this work. But you have people who won't even give of their means. There's so many different ministries that God is calling us to go full-fledged into, that because we will not go, friends, the power will not be experienced. Because in order for the power to be experienced, it will take bringing us out of our comfort zones. It will take bringing us out of where we feel comfortable. The time has come when, as never before, the Seventh-day Adventists are to arise and shine, because their light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon them. Friends, as we close, may we follow the pattern of the Master. May we go into the highways, into the populated areas. And I see many people doing this. I saw some ministers doing this, and this is just a little, I wouldn't say pet peeve of mine, but it's a sad thing that I've seen. I know that each and every person would agree, but one of the things I realize, especially with those in present truth circles, and this is something that we have to be careful of, friends. I remember as large gatherings were happening in Washington, D.C. a few years ago, that as it was happening, and this was actually the same day, and it was actually a few years ago, and then another major gathering was happening. Actually, you guys, I'm sure everyone on this line heard of it, on January 6th itself, a few years back. I believe it's 2 years ago now. And there were present truth people gathering at these gatherings way before, because approximately 3 years ago, there was a huge gathering that was done outside of the Capitol in D.C. And it was present truthers were out there. They were giving out the tracts. They were gathering. They were saying, whoa, this is what's going to happen. We got to make an effort to get out there and get the great controversy into the hands of the people, get tracts into the hands of the people. And friends, I praise God for that. And that was powerful. But I tested something. I said, and then on January 6th, there was many people of present truth gathered in that gathering to get the message out. And friends, as they look back, many people, as they give the testimony and they look back, they marvel that they were protected, that God was with them and God kept them as they endeavored to be out there, even though they didn't know the risk that was going to come with it. And there's always a risk with giving out the message. But it was very interesting. I noticed something. There were other gatherings in D.C. that many of God's people within present truth chose not to go to. And those gatherings were in the streets. One of the things that I noticed, and I asked my friend, I actually stated it on social media, and I stated, you know, it's very interesting. When it came to this, to the groups that were gathering on January 6th, and that were of a certain political persuasion, many of God's people were among them to disseminate the truth. But, and I said, okay, well, you know, can't say anything about that. Praise the Lord that they did it. But I realized to a degree there was favoritism, because among many present truthers, the mindset is that this party that's gathering in these large gatherings agrees with my views. And so I'll be among them. And I know, here it is, I know that they won't be violent until January 6th came and they realized the crowds that they were avoiding, such as, and I went to those crowds, I was in those rallies to disseminate the truth. I went among those rallies with my best friend. Him and I went there to show sympathy, and we also went there and I got the opportunity to actually speak at the rally on a news station and to declare the truth of God's word. And that was at the actual Black Lives Matter rallies. Now, friends, did I agree with everything that they were doing at those rallies? Of course not. Do I agree with everything that people were doing at the other rallies that many present truthers were at? Of course not. But it was a large gathering. And I knew that God loved both groups. God wanted the truth to be disseminated among both groups. And I thought, man, you know, that's interesting, man. These people are meeting over issues of racial justice. But because many don't agree with them, they will not go in the midst of them to disseminate the truth. And I said, you know what, maybe I'm overthinking this, until a friend called me one day. We were going back and forth on Messenger, and he said, Akeem, man, what you're saying is true. He said, actually, the conversation came about after I sent him, after I posted what I posted on social media about us gathering in one gathering because we agree with those groups and not in the other gathering because we don't like these people. And he confirmed it. He said, Akeem, you're right. What you're saying is true. It was one of my friends from one of our present truth institutions. He said to me, I went to the rally that was taking place on January 6th. As we were coming, as we were ending off the rally, he said, I said to one of the people there with me, man, you know, this was so powerful. We got to witness to these people. And man, it ended up even more crazy, even just as crazy as the situation with, as you've been hearing a lot of people saying, oh, the other group is so violent, so we can't go among them. That goes out the window when January 6th happened, because the very group that they thought weren't violent became insanely violent, and this group did it in the name of Christianity, Christian nationalism. That's why it was so crazy. And he said, man, but the guy, then my friend said to the guy, he said, but what if we were to go among these people who are gathering for Black Lives Matter, gather among them and give them the truth? They need it just as much. And you know what the person responded to my friend? He said, no, man, I'm not going among them. I don't want to be there. That's when it clicked for him that even present truthers, as zealous as they may seem, many times there are many among us, I would say, let me not say all, but many among us who are playing favorites. They're witnessing to the people and the groups that they like, forgetting that Christ says, I have come into the world to save the world and to reach everyone. Friends, may we not be afraid and may we not choose favorites when we choose the fairs that we go to. When we choose the gathering places that we go to, we must be wise, as Jesus was. But friends, we must make concerted, wise efforts to reach all, not just the groups that we may agree with, but even the people that may not be with us ideologically or theologically or doctrinally. The atheist, as well as the Christian nationalist, must be reached. Everyone. And this is my prayer for us as we close. Father in heaven, I pray that these things made sense, O Lord. Lord, I pray that you would help us to minister to everyone. As even Ellen White stated in her time, that not only is there a work to be done in the North, and she knew the North agreed with her sentiments as it concerns slavery and how they were fighting against it to a certain degree, even though they were complacent. But at the same time, while agreeing with them and knowing that God, and agreeing with them because God did, she also said there is a work to be done in the South among people who wanted to harbor slaves. She said a work is to be done even among them. And so, Father, help us in this time not to play favorites, Lord, but help us to seek to reach everyone. We pray and we ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Brother Akeem, for that word. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, I want to thank you for joining us on the prayer line to hear this message. And I just want to ask that everyone can check out the studies. I believe Brother Akeem gave these books, the Book of Consolation, you said?
The book is called Evangelism, yes.
Evangelism
is the book, yes.
And then you said something else that you can check out.
Oh, no, that was pretty much it, but you can look at it online, I was saying, and yeah, I think that was maybe it. If it wasn't, I'm sorry, I forgot.
Okay.
Sorry about that,
okay.
Sister Leola.
That's okay. But no, I was talking about the, I thought you were talking about something else, but okay then. All right then. Well,
okay.
Brothers and sisters, we want to just thank Brother Akeem for bringing the message, and we just want to thank God for it also. So we just asking that he bless you all tonight with a peaceful rest, and as we meditate on the word of God, let us just thank him for all what he have done for us, and amen. So we just say good night, brothers and sisters, and I say praise God. Amen. And I'm just in with a song. Thank you once again, Brother Akeem, and God bless everyone.
Amen. Bless you.
Amen. 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 And we're going to just close out with a song.